Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the Fike Media Network. Happy Tuesday morning to you all as we begin a brand new week, recapping the week that was in WWE so far as the road to SummerSlam continues. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right-handy, sometimes advocate for the Wrap, and Pooper, Miss Jada Parker from NXT. I bring to you back on The Wrap, the one, the only, Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salty.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I am excited to have this conversation, but as I said off air, there are things that I won't have a lot to say because they don't matter.
And I cannot wait to hear what doesn't matter to you. It could be a short statement. It could be a lengthy statement. We'll see exactly what it is in WWE that Scott Young does not care about. I might have a good idea about what he doesn't care about, but we'll wait to hear him say it for himself on this show. But before we dive into his concerns and grievances, let's talk about something that we did not talk about last week. I'm immediately going on the Discord with Fike Media right now to fish a question out from our guy, our honorary third man, Jeremy Finestone, dropped his question last week, and we forgot because it was a busy weekend for us, Money in the Bank, NXT Heatwave, a live Wrap covering Monday Night Raw, but we're going to circle back to this question because it is still relevant regarding Drew McIntyre and his quest to become World Heavyweight Champion. So Jeremy asked this question to us last week. So we've seen Drew not walk away with the world title at WrestleMania, Clash at the Castle, and Money in the Bank. Where and when does Drew win and walk away with the world title, in your opinion? To Scott, I'm going to hand this question off to you first.
Oh, man. You know, as far as Drew goes, we still got to get through Gunther. Gunther's got to get a reign. And I think the end game, the long game, at least for me, I think you could easily get Drew CM Punk stretched all the way to WrestleMania. And me personally, I wouldn't have CM Punk get a win over Drew until WrestleMania. I think this feud should go very similar to how Edge and Matt Hardy went when Matt Hardy first came back. And if we remember that first match that they had in that feud, it actually ended because of a stoppage, because there was so much blood. Edge posted Matt Hardy on the, and I don't know if they planned it or if it went the hard way, but he was, had so much blood, and Edge was still just going after him, and Matt Hardy was still fighting. The crowd was just raucous for it. So I could see the match going like that, just Drew destroying him, or, you know, Brock Cena. But I think Drew ends up winning it around, oh, man, it has to be in some type of multi-man match where he doesn't have, because he's not going to be a babyface versus Gunther. So I'm going to say around Royal Rumble time, maybe around the same time CM Punk wins the Royal Rumble.
So you're saying that Drew McIntyre will be World Heavyweight Champion by the Royal Rumble 2025?
I'll even say he'll win it at the Rumble, carry it into WrestleMania, and face CM Punk.
Okay. And they will headline a night of WrestleMania, correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely night. It would definitely close night one.
All right. I like your way of thinking. You know, Drew crossed off one big thing off that box, which was win in front of people. He did that. It lasted 5 minutes and 46 seconds, but he did that. So you can't really redo that coronation. So you got to make this one count a bit more for it to be a lengthy run. I do like the idea of the Royal Rumble, because it sets the tone for WrestleMania. It gives incentive for CM Punk to win the Rumble or cash his ticket via Elimination Chamber. There's two ways to do it. So I can see that as a pathway. So I am going to also co-sign and say that Drew McIntyre will win the 2025 Royal Rumble at Lucas Oil Stadium. I do believe that's where it's going to be for the Rumble 2025. And let's do it. I'm here for it.
Yeah, and if it's not that, I feel like it's got to be a, like, Survivor Series. It's got to be at a big four, because you're not going to do it at Bash. So it's got to be at a big four.
Yeah, I agree. And we'll see what happens. But I don't want this to go too much longer. I thought you was going to say Warrior Rumble 2026. That would have been crazy, but...
Long term, but we on that bloodline timeline.
Yes, the bloodline that has at least three more seasons to it. We're in season four right now. We're going to have the new bloodline chapter followed by the return of the OG bloodline, and then the final boss chapter sometime in 2026. So if you want real long term booking, look at the bloodline. But I think Drew doesn't have to wait that long to get that long, lengthy reign as champion sometime next year, preferably at the Royal Rumble in Indianapolis, a town that Scott despises, as you heard on this show before. I just had to get that in there for good measure.
I mean, you're not wrong. Shout out to Halle, I guess.
Oh my gosh. Ridiculous.
Who else would I shout out from Indianapolis?
I mean, Pat McAfee's from Indianapolis.
Yeah, he's cool. Shout out to 520 Podcasts. They're cool. I like them.
Okay. Shout out to Peyton Manning, you know, the greatest Colt who ever lived, who built that stadium, by the way. So props to him. Scott's like unimpressed.
Cool. Shout out to his one ring.
Wow. Hey, some have none. So
that's true. But listen, to be the greatest quarterback and only have one ring, it's like we on that Dan Marino time. Ain't nobody got time for that.
I said the greatest Colt of all time, not like the greatest quarterback who ever lived. Cult. Yes. I didn't say like he was on levels of Brady or Montana. Now, come on now.
All right. True that. I guess you could say that because anybody else play for the Colts. So, I mean, Marvin Harrison and Edgerrin James, they're cool. Yes. Andrew Luck, he was like, oh, I got to get rid of my flip phone. I quit. So,
wow.
You know, I guess he could be the best Colt.
Yes. It's undisputed facts. So, let's segue away from Indianapolis, as Scott has barrels for them for days for reasons that I don't get. The beef there is real. Don't ever roll up an indie because they will look at you funny. But let's get to some highlights from WWE this past week as we get into NXT going down live from the WWE Performance Center in Orlando, Florida. The fallout from NXT Heatwave, one of the best shows NXT has put on in a very long time. And I thought this show was solid and we got what we wanted. We had the teases on the PLE at the very end. We had teases throughout the show on Tuesday. It was the return of the one and only Joe Hendry. But before we get to Joe and how marvelous he is, let's get into some more TNA returns or debuts on NXT. So Wesley, after losing to Obafemi in his final shot at the North American Championship, as long as Obafemi is a champion. You know how I feel about Wesley. I love him as a wrestler, but my God, he has entered crybaby territory. Like the tear ducts are automatic. I'm like, dude, it's not that deep. He says, maybe I need quit NXT. I've done all that I can do. I'm like, dude, what about upward mobility? Why don't you go after the NXT championship? Why don't you set your goals higher than the North American championship? I don't know. You just want to throw in the towel, go home. But then thankfully, thank God, as we predicted, the Rascals come out and we get the reunion of Zachary Wentz and Trey Miguel, and they try to encourage dude, like, dude, don't quit. We're here. We got your back. And we're going to be facing Gallus this upcoming Tuesday on NXT. Oh, joy. Go Rascals. That's all I got to say. But I love the reunion. Very sweet. Very happy for Zach Wentz in particular to get this moment back at the PC, because for a very long time, MSK, when they were on NXT as tag team champions, they got booed for no reason, just to hate from the crowd. But they've mellowed out since then. And after what happened with him a couple of years ago, it's good to have him return to a nice reception. And they have a really good match against Gallus on Tuesday's NXT that we'll talk about next week. It's going to be all right. It's Gallus, you know. But hey, the Rascals will come through and deliver. Overall, good segment, minus the tears from Wesley, because I'm over them.
Yeah, there is something about Wesley seeming like he's auditioning for the reboot of This Is Us. And, you know, we have to remember at heart that this dude is a stoner. So as far as him going for the NXT title, you're asking a lot out of this guy. OK, he's already overachieved as it is. He's very happy with the level of success that he has. His boys, you know, what I'm saying, like, he good. You know, you ask it a lot out of him. He just wants to go back in the circle. He sees how, like, he saw how happy and cheerful they were when they came in, how much energy they had. He drained. You know what I'm saying? Like, he ain't got a lot of energy left. He running low on gas. Yeah, segment was cool. The return was cool. It's nice not to have the mini Bailey haters in the crowd anymore. Who had it out for Wentz. So this was a pretty cool return overall.
This Is Us, Wesley. Yes, he is going to be the Sterling K. Brown of NXT moving forward. Tears for days as we hear his sob story.
Sterling K. Brown like that.
Multi-time award winner. You know.
Don't disrespect Sterling K. like that, man.
Well, that's a compliment. That is something that, but then again, you said that Wesley doesn't aspire to achieve the highest of greatness because he's a slacker and, you know, he's about that high life, which I understand. But you know what? He should aim for Sterling K. Brown. You should aim for acting and pathos and ethos. You know what I mean? So he should aim higher and, you know, really try to grab me emotionally. But right now, those crocodile tears don't mean much to me. But thankfully, his boys, the Rascals, put a stop to that before I had to get the Kleenex and wipe my own tears from boredom.
Yeah, for sure. That's why I said he was auditioning. I definitely didn't say he made the show. But shout out to Sterling K, because that's an actor right there.
Yes, absolutely. Shout out to Sterling K. Brown on the show. Random drop, but hey, got to show love and respect to those who put in that craft for the love of the game of acting. As we dive into more from NXT this past Tuesday, let's talk about Chase U and how Ridge Holland is trying to make things happen for the crew. Got Thea Hale a match against Izzy Dayne, and Izzy Dayne lost Thea Hale thanks to some Tatum Paxley shenanigans at the end. And then we had the bravery of this man to have the faith in Duke Hudson to say, hey, Duke, hey, I got you a championship match against the North American champion, Opafemi. And Duke's face was like, why? Why would you do that? I don't want that smoke. But then he changed his mind by cutting a very good promo on Opafemi. So he has built up the confidence to say, I'm going to whoop your ass. He won't win. But I do expect them to have a pretty good match. And I want to say Opafemi will once again deliver another very strong singles match in defense of his NXT North America Championship.
All right. Yeah, it was fine. Like, it was cool. But, you know, so Ridge is doing what Duke was doing, but Duke's not seeing it. And then Duke gets all fired up and like nobody believes in Duke. Like if I'm Duke, I'm like, yo, really? I'm allowed to look like that. But y'all supposed to have my back. This was terrible. And honestly, I didn't know if Oba just stood up out of his seat or if he was on like the high rise. I couldn't tell. So, cause that dude's just a giant anyway. So shout out to him. Him just standing there was the best part of this segment. And Matt.
Yes, the aura and the swag is everything. He was standing in that platform. Like he was bigger than the platform. Let's be very honest. Like he just takes up a lot of space in a good way. Great presence for days, great on the mic. And he has that aura that makes him stand out. And Duke Hudson, you know what? How you gonna have no confidence and then have confidence? Like, how does that flow? Like, you was like, I don't want this match, but now I want this match. And he should also realize that Rich Holland is him from like a couple of years ago, that he is outright manipulating from within Chase U to probably take your MVP trophy. Watch yourself, Duke. Watch yourself.
Oh, no. I think he's of good in, like, Duke never turned. Like, I think Ridge is, I think he's got good intentions. And I think what's going to end up happening is, Ridge is going to be like, I just got tired of y'all not believing me. So I just went ahead and did it. Like, that's what I think is going to end up happening. Like, he is going to turn, but it's going to be because nobody believed in him.
I actually have someone else turning in the crew.
Oh, boy. Is it Thea again?
No, it's not Thea.
Here we go. Who we got?
I got the other fella. His name is escaping me right now.
Well, he's not off to a good start. I can tell you that.
I'm so sorry to this
that
man.
That turn is not off to a good start when he's starting off as the other fella.
The other fella. I have to Google him. My apologies to this man.
He is no Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell. I can tell you that.
No, I am so sorry, homie. I'm going to...
Is he Miles Bourne?
No, it's not Miles Bourne.
First name that came to mind.
I was thinking, I didn't want to get confused. All right, let me get my name right here. I'm so sorry. This man, Riley Osborne. Sorry,
Riley
fella.
Riley Osborne. So he's the son of the Bad Eater.
No. No relation to Ozzy Osborne.
I didn't know. I just wanted to check.
My apologies for blanking on your name, Wiley. I will remember it from now on, but that means you have to be more memorable for me to remember your name. So that has to go hand in hand on the show. But listen, they ain't her boo. They ain't even on a date. Come on.
NXT is the real Love Island. So I'm sure they've been on a date.
Listen, I have seen the collage. It is Love Island for real. The hookups are incredible. I'm taking bets on who will get married first from this class. Very impressive.
Get married.
We do have a couple of engagements, so people are going to make it to the aisle eventually here. But
who's engaged?
I think Tatum Paxley and Javier Bernal are engaged. And Blair Davenport.
Who on TV?
And Riley Osborne are also engaged.
Okay, there we go. I was going to ask, who on TV is engaged? All right, yes. There you got me. Shout out to Riley and Blair.
Yes, so, and they made that known. They're like, we're not going to take this relationship with Thea seriously on screen. We're engaged, the immediacy of that. I'm just saying.
That's funny.
The timing was, listen, I'm claiming him right now. It ain't going to be a thing on screen. Trust and believe that. Wink. Okay, so. Let's get to something I have been thinking about for a while now, and it is the Fallon Henley Hill turn. First of all, she really loves that Battleground fit so much. I need her to get some Tuesday night gear. You save that gear for special occasions. Just a friendly suggestion. Go to the dry cleaners, get that fit washed every 2 weeks. I get it. Good for you. However, her being a mean girl, I don't buy it. I ain't buying into it. Ooh, people did me wrong. I'm going to attack all the baby faces. Ooh, I don't buy into her being a heel. She was a natural baby face, and I don't like this trajectory with her now aligning with JC Jane and Jasmine Nix. Like, okay, so you're the mean girls now. So what are you, Toxic Attraction 2.0 with less bite without Mandy there? Okay, cool, whatever. But I just don't buy into her being a heel per se. Not yet. Maybe that'll change, like Roxanne won me over because she's a great worker and she figured out how to be a heel. But with Fallon, I just don't feel it.
I actually don't mind Fallon as a heel, but as far as the segment goes and everything that I've seen of her, as from everything I've seen so far, I just doesn't intrigue me yet with what's going on. I know Kalani's the end game with her, but as far as what we got going on right now, it's not hidden for me. I do think she's doing good heel work. It's just they're not giving anything for her to work with, at least not yet.
No, hopefully that comes eventually, but yeah, I kind of feel like it's kind of ho-hum right now. Hopefully it gets better in due time.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now let's get to After School Special with our good buddy, Ava, who is improving, and someone who's been causing a lot of trouble on NXT as of late. You know, he's been crashing the scene, causing trouble, getting arrested on site, and he has been causing a ruckus on social media. It's an angle that has been controversial, given a little loose cannon and whatnot. And I think it's time to talk about this segment involving a man that I won't acknowledge because of what he did to my boy, Javon Evans. So I'm going to call him Mullet Boy for right now. I am. I have no choice. Mullet Boy and Ava had a conversation about all of his misdeeds as of late and how he almost lost his job and how Ava and Shawn Michaels came together and said, you know what, Mullet Boy, we're going to give you one more chance to get it together, okay? So Mullet Boy got a vouch from Josh Briggs. Hey, he's my friend. And after he and I broke up and Fallon went our separate ways, you know, he was left all alone. He was led astray, run amok. And now he's found his way back home because of me. And I'm going to watch over him. So not even half an hour into Mullet Boy's return, he attacks Javon Evans backstage. And he knocks Javon out of this tag team main event involving himself and Trick Williams versus the new NXT champion, All Ego Ethan Page and Sean Spears. And that will lead to Javon Evans versus Mullet Boy on tonight's NXT on USA. And I hope Javon whoops Mullet Boy's ass. If Mullet Boy wins, I will be here out of protest next week. And I'll be very, very unhappy about that.
There's a good chance Morgan Wallen might come away with the victory. He does things one thing at a time. He'll probably have on some whiskey glasses, but as far as the angle goes, like you said, it is what it is. Like, this is what we got. He's the loose cannon. I like Lexus. I think Lexus King lucked out not getting this, and instead we got this right here. But shout out to his tag team partner Josh Briggs, who got punished by being sent to Japan. So just sucks to be around Morgan all around, you know. And we do know what happened with Morgan Wallen in the inwards. So it makes complete sense that he attacked Evans. Like, this is all coming full circle. And Evans should win. Don't be surprised if Morgan Wallen spins you around and, you know, gets that 1-2-3.
I'm at a loss. You know, I'm going to give Brooks Jensen his name back, because Morgan Waller's like a foul to me. Because I will say this, Austin Theory, I saw like this social media clip from WWE, and I was rolling with Austin Theory for like 2 seconds. And when he mentioned he was spitting Morgan Wallen in the truck, I'm like, well, you know what? You can keep that. Keep that energy to yourself. I don't claim a town down. I mean, you going to say, yeah, spin Morgan Wallen. Okay. All right. All right. Cool.
Young man, he don't know no better.
He disappointed me greatly when he said that.
That man could have easily just said Shibuzi and kept it moving.
You know what? That's what he could. You know, if he said Shibuzi,
he could have just said Shibuzi and kept it moving. Yeah.
Could have saved his whole day with me. Now I gotta look at you sideways.
I mean, but you know what? He a little young. He probably don't know anything about Jaquan, and, you know, getting tipsy in the club with Jaquan. So he don't respect Jabuzi like I do, you know what I'm saying? Or like we do, you know what I'm saying? We got that respect for him because he got respect for Jaquan and tipsy.
And we do have respect at the highest level for the hits back in that day. One day Austin Theory will learn the values of that music. But right now I don't claim him as an AT alien. I don't. Not after that. I was disturbed.
Oh, I'm sure he's so upset to not be claimed by Atlanta.
He claims Atlanta.
I know
he claims it.
I know it does. And I think that's the problem. I think once he lets go of Atlanta, once he lets go of Atlanta, he's going to be great. He's going to soar.
Stop it. Hawk. Stop it. You first of all, wrong. You're wrong for that too. Double wrong. Okay. All right, let's move on, because I do not take slander of my city or the Hawks at all, even though they are not very great right now. But let's move on to the main event of NXT. It was Trick Williams, the former NXT champion, with a mystery tag team partner that was teased throughout the night, versus the new NXT champion, All Ego Ethan Page, and Sean Spears, the two Canadians who are trying to get along here. And it was none other than the man of the hour, the man that people wanted to see for weeks. I believe in Joe Hendry. Scott, do you believe in Joe Hendry?
Yeah, I'm a believer. I think I mentioned this before. He's a... my kids are believers. He's in the morning rotation, right in between Post Malone's Pour Me a Drink and Blippi's Excavator song. You know, so we all believe in Joe Hendry somewhere in there. But I thought he was great. Great, great in-ring. Well, technically his in-ring debut, because like he actually got to wrestle this time. So I thought it was a really good, well worth the wait, well worth the build up. And the crowd reacted accordingly and made him feel like a big star.
Absolutely. The fans sung his theme song. They love this guy. Like, the crossover appeal of Joe Hendry in NXT is very fascinating. And this guy pops a number. They had a very strong demo rating when it dropped on Wednesday. And it was very encouraging for him to come back. And we totally agree that he needs to be here for a good 6 months and be a force in some way. He's very good in the ring, charismatic as I don't know what. This guy is so present in a way that you just can't keep your eyes off of him. And it's very hard to do that when you're with Trick, who's equally as charismatic as well. And they didn't lose themselves in this match. It was very equal down the middle, very good action throughout. And most importantly, Joe Hendry got the win that got him over in a big way. And him and Trick celebrated to end the show on a high note. But the payoff for this TNA NXT relationship is going pretty well so far. Joe Hendry in the main event of NXT gets a pinfall victory. And on Tuesday, most likely the Rascals are going to get a win over Gallus. So I think this relationship is proving to be beneficial to both parties. Is popping the rating for NXT. I don't know if it's really moving the needle for TNA very much, but we do know that that push on WWE does lend itself to good numbers for NXT. And that really speaks to the brand recognition still of TNA, because even though the numbers might not be there, the talent is clearly there. And those that do watch are very passionate about what they see every Thursday on Access TV.
Yeah, for sure. And they definitely got some talent, and they got a lot of heavy hitters that we haven't even seen yet. The system's coming. Moose is ready. I think that he's got matches ready if he decides he's going to come over. So even a guy like PCO, AJ Francis, that's somebody who I'd love to see come back. And he's got some titles now that he can really just throw in people's faces. Like, look at what y'all let go. Look at what y'all missed out on. Like, I think there's a lot. He can come out with Woo Kid for all that, you know, and bring Woo, and like, this is what you missed out on. I just think there's still a lot of meat left on the bone on both sides. I know we're trying to feed two dogs here with one leg, but I think there's still plenty left for everybody to eat. And there's still plenty for WWE to send that way. Like, I still think there's still Natalya to go over to TNA and give Jordynne Grace a little run for her money. We've been sending, you know, the Izzy's and stuff like that over to the weekly show. And that's cool. That's real good exposure for them. And that's good opportunities for them. And it's good for TNA as well, just to have fresh faces in there. But I do think it's time to send a little bit more name value. And I think we'll get that with the Rascals going over there to TNA. I think we'll see Wesley over there. But I like Natalya. She's somebody who I'm still expecting to show up over there, because that's a match they've been talking about for a while.
Yeah, Natalya and Jordynne Grace would actually be a great championship match. Natalya, you know, people say a lot about Natalya, but the one thing you cannot deny is that she is a great professional wrestler and that she's going to be a trainer for life in WWE. If you want people to get better, you send them to Natalya. You send them to the dungeon. You send them to her so they can get their reps to get better. She just recently re-upped with WWE. Very good news there. I have grown to respect the craft that is Natty Neidhart, and her and Jordynne Grace, I think, will have a fabulous match in TNA for that Knockouts Championship. And I think it's time to put the timer on Jordynne Grace, because I do think by the Royal Rumble, she's making the jump to WWE full time.
And if she does, I don't think you need to do any type of like real reintroductions. Like, I think she'll be remembered very quickly. Her having the good match on NXT, having a good debut there. So yeah, she'd be a welcome addition. And you know, with the three brands, the roster is a little bit thin. You know, when you put the WWE roster together, you got a deep roster. You got a very deep women's division. When you spread it out, especially when you're talking about having a tag team division in there too. Yeah. You could definitely use more depth, especially at the top of your cards on both shows.
Absolutely. That is going to be a core key of concern heading into our next topic, because after NXT was over on Tuesday, we got a shocking announcement by Thursday that Stephanie Vacker, who was a part of the Forbidden Door PLE or pay-per-view for AEW last month against Mercedes Moné, has signed with WWE and even made her in-ring debut this past weekend at a live event in Mexico City. So that was a surprise pickup by WWE. Shawn Michaels, the cook himself, tweeted it out like, we'll see you in Orlando. So it's a done deal. She's going to be a part of the NXT women's division. So this division is starting to get some names and some experience to buffer things, which we've been talking about, because it's a very young division. There's green ladies there with potential, but you do need some vets like a Roxanne and our Stephanie Vacker and possibly Julia coming in imminently to definitely lift things up to make make this a division that can stake claim to being the best in North America once again.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be able to make that claim. I mean, we still got to remember SmackDown and Raw. They're missing Charlotte. They're missing Becky. Like, they're missing heavy hitters. So I don't think they'll be able to make that claim. But I think they'll have the type of division that you need going into a new network, going into a CW. Like, you need those type of women to build around. Strong, beautiful, can really be your pillars in your division type of women. All three of them. Even Roxanne, you keep her there. Like, Lash Legend is somebody that you can still build around. Like, you got a lot of pieces down there in NXT. That you can, like, if they would all stay there for a few years, yeah, now we're talking about potentially the best division in WWE, especially the way Lash will continue to improve, and a lot of these other girls that they have, they'll continue to improve, like a Jasmine Nix. That's somebody who's definitely improving at a good speed. So I think that what they're doing as far as building and ramping up just kind of the depth of these divisions is very important. Like an Ariana Grace, that's somebody who probably could have stayed in NXT, but it does add a little bit more to that depth that you'll see another face who can take a loss. You know, that's essentially what she's there for right now, to show up in triple threats and number one contenders battle royals to take a loss. But it adds another face in there instead of having to see Natalya lose every time. So it is what it is. But I do think the divisions are starting to ramp up and build a little bit, because you need a little bit more depth.
For sure. And I'm going to add another name to that list. Your advocate. You know what? You the advocate. You are the client. You have the client with Jada Parker. She's rapidly improving as well. I think that she's one of the best characters on NXT. Very authentic, very true to herself. No need to be a tryhard. She is who she is. And that is a very good way to stand out on that show as well. So I think she's going to be a centerpiece and a future pillar as well. Very deep division. Just need that extra rep and experience for everyone to really pull it all together. I think it will happen in the next year or two, but having name vets out there that can ball at a high level is definitely going to elevate this division for the next year or so. Looking forward to how that's going to shape up when Stephanie Vacker makes her official debut on NXT imminently, as we move on to Friday Night SmackDown on Fox. Before I do so, one more mention from NXT before I go. Rest in peace, Damon Kemp, who was killed off by his no quarter catch crew this past Tuesday. Charlie Dempsey pulling a Tony D'Angelo as he sent him to the pier to swim with the fishes.
I mean, who cares? People die on NXT all the time.
What is this, our fourth or fifth fatality?
Yeah, we're definitely catching up to. We have a lot more in common with TNA than people think, because TNA used to love it. I'm just waiting on us to have a kill cam where we get the camera from the person who's dead's point of view, and it's looking up at everybody, looking at him dead.
If that happens, wrestling has jumped the shark in so many ways. I mean, we've kind of jumped it with TNA several times by having graphic, gory deaths on the air to kill off a character as they move on to their next promotion. But I will say that this was funny. Damon Kemp made a joke about it on Twitter saying, "I'm not really there. I'm good. Appreciate you guys." So I like it. But my favorite all-time TNA moment in terms of near deaths was that time James Storm knocked Mickey James into the tracks. And then they said, and I quote, "What he did was borderline criminal." Like, no, there was attempted murder. It's not borderline criminal. He tried to murk Mickey James. That is not borderline criminality. Stop it.
He must have been drinking.
Yes, most likely. Beer money all day. All day. Indeed. All right. As we now get to finally Friday Night SmackDown on Fox. And I do want to talk about the opening segment of the new Miss Money in the Bank, Tiffany Stratton, who does not have a pink bedazzled sparkly briefcase yet. That's coming soon. And she brags about the win. She's going to be the youngest champion in WWE. She's going to cash in, and she's going to be the champion someday very soon. Bayley comes out looking great as always. And she tells Tiffany, I've been there, done that. I've cashed in, but you got to be successful because right now there is a 100% success rate of cash-ins for the women. So hopefully you can get it done. If not, then you will be a statistic of you failing to cash in when it counts most. Nia Jax comes out and she makes the most egregious statement in the year 2024. And I've heard many egregious things, but she had the nerve to accuse Bayley of getting a BBL. If I was Bayley, I would sue for slander and libel. How dare she?
I mean, I think everybody acknowledges Bayley's Bakery and what she got going on with the cakes. So, you know, wasn't the most egregious thing I've ever heard. You know, I feel like whatever Hunter was doing back in the hugger phase, that was just because I'm going to tell you what, when she was out there hugging people, tightening up her ponytail and trying to, you know, I never noticed it once. But when she decided to cut her hair and go all mom and drive a minivan, all of a sudden the bakery opened up and it was like, wow. I had no idea. So yeah, I get it.
I cannot believe you that she got the mom cut and you just noticed. Wow.
Bayley's Bakery, baby.
Listen, Unlimited Biscuits. She has a franchise. She does, you know, and a beautiful woman with or without makeup. Beautiful, beautiful.
For sure.
Absolutely.
And great with the bags too. Kills it with the bags.
Yes, absolutely. Let's stop right now because you are doing the most. But we had Nia and Tiffany attack Bayley. Thankfully, Meechan made the save and she whacks Nia with the kendo stick, leads to Nia Jax versus Meechan. For everyone that criticizes Nia Jax, her second run in WWE is pretty good. She is not the greatest in the ring, but she's decent. And her and Meechan had a very good match, very competitive, went back and forth for a bit. And ultimately, we had Tiffany Stratton trying to help her girl to victory. Bayley blocks that opportunity. And then Nia wins with the Annihilator on Meechan for the 1-2-3. And they go after Bayley once again, as in Tiffany Stratton and Nia Jax. And as Nia says, we're done here, Tiffany, who I noticed was just lingering, and she was trying to encourage Nia. Hey, girl, you go ahead. You go on. I'll meet you backstage. You could go ahead. So she's trying to cash in after Bayley put them on the spot earlier in the segment, saying, what would you do if you were to beat me, Nia? And then Tiffany would have to cash in on you. And Tiffany says, I would never do that. Never, ever, ever. But she was trying to cash in on a down and out Bayley. And Nia Jax came from behind her and says, what you doing? And then Tiffany says, nothing, 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 crosses her, you know, hand behind her back with the briefcase. And she calls off the cash in. I love this tease. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I'm highly entertained by this duo. But word of advice, Tiffany, when it's time to handle business, you got to be better. Just knock Nia the fuck out with the briefcase and cash in. No need to be nice. Go after what you want. Friendly advice from someone that is all about winning at the end of the day.
Well, that is good advice. The only problem is if it's Mike Chioda, because Mike Chioda was also the referee when Carmella was trying to cash in. They kept asking her, are you sure? Right now? This contract? Tonight? Are you sure? Hold on. You want to cash in the contract and wrestle right now? Just confirmation. I just want to be sure before I tell the announcer. So if it's Mike Chioda, I just gave you 3 minutes. Mike Chioda sat there for at least 5 minutes and gave her 25 questions. This was definitely, he was definitely doing his best Nate Dogg impression, and he thought she was 50 Cent because this was 21 questions. And they're not about us, okay? It was just about the contract. So, yeah, I think as long as you don't have Mike Chioda, you got a shot.
Mike Chioda annoyed me so much that night. Like, dude, she's trying to cash in. You mean this contract? You mean the women's money in the bank contract, which means you are entitled to a title shot up to 1 year. You mean you want to cash in this white briefcase tonight? You mean this briefcase right here? this briefcase right here, you want to cash this in tonight? Really? You do? No, the only person that needs to be facilitating this is Charles Robinson. Mike Chioda cannot be anywhere near a briefcase because you will not only have 21 questions, you'll have Jeopardy questions in a form of a question.
Hey, listen, you're probably not going to win, so I wouldn't plan on SummerSlam. Chioda works all the big events. I would plan on trying to get it on a SmackDown. That's going to be your best bet. Don't try to get on a pay-per-view, on a PLE, because Chioda worked those.
Mm-hmm. Be very mindful of the referee schedule. That's a good point, Scott, because Chioda sucks when it comes to cash-ins. Noted for the record. As we get to a liar who I love, Randy Orton. So he sits down on the bench backstage with Cody Rhodes and he talks about, hey, Cody, I know you're going out tonight facing a bloodline all by yourself. You know, Kevin's back in Canada taking care of his family, and that's important. But I want you to know that I got your back if you need it. You know, I got you. Good. But after you're done with this bloodline business and when you beat Solo, a lot of guys coming for that WWE championship. And I want you to know that I got your back too. I said, I looked at Randy Thickums Orton and I said, you liar. You know what you about to do. You know what you always going to do. You are going to be all about that championship because I saw you eating and looking at that title last week. I saw you eating and drinking and looking at that title. It's on your mind. So, Cody, watch your back, because when the time comes, Randy Orton will hit you with an RKO out of nowhere and say, I got next. But we'll get to that later during the main event.
Yeah, that's a good match to have in their back pocket. You know, they'll need a big match if they don't throw Cody in the War Games. He'll need something to do at Survivor Series. And honestly, if we are supposed to get Rock and Roman at WrestleMania, Cody will need a dancing partner because Seth, CM Punk, and Drew McIntyre will all be a little busy and a little tied up with their own things. So this is a good match to have in your back pocket whenever you're ready to pull the trigger.
Yes, and we got all taken into account John Cena, and I know he wants a big match at WrestleMania, and Randy Orton could be a possibility because we know they go way back, way back.
Honestly, I wouldn't mind Cena going after Cody Rhodes for the title. So that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Any option works for me. So yeah, good segment. We'll talk about the main event in a moment, but I do want to get to LA Knight challenging Logan Paul for the United States Championship at SummerSlam. We'll have Logan Paul's response on Friday SmackDown, and I officially advocate for LA Knight to get this belt off the span as soon as possible. That's all I'm going to say.
Not much of this segment. Didn't really care. LA Knight's great, gets a great reaction, but he just doesn't really do a lot for me. The way it went about, I think if anything, I would have preferred Logan Paul just to be a thorn in his side, or for them to announce the match beforehand. I still think he should have showed up at Money in the Bank, but that's just a little thing. So it's cool, like you said. LA Knight's going to get a big win at SummerSlam, big moment for him. And then we'll see what they do with Logan Paul going forward.
Yeah, for sure. Only a couple of title defenses as U.S. champion. This run has been underwhelming, I must say, for Logan Paul.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to our next segment, which is the greatness of Chelsea Green. So she was standing outside of Nick Aldis's office in her neck brace, selling the injury she suffered at Money in the Bank, going through not one but two tables, courtesy of Tiffany Stratton. And she wanted a meeting all night long. And come to find out, thanks to Bianca Belair saying it when they were talking to Naomi after she beat Blair Davenport, he ain't here tonight. And Chelsea was like, I stood outside this door for an hour and this man isn't here. I love Chelsea Green, one of the best rehires, one of the best characters in WWE today. She needs a championship run sometime next year, please.
I don't know. She can go to NXT and get a run. Actually, I don't know. She'd be cool down there, but I don't know about her with the title. But she's great. She's cool.
Yes, and she could be a fluky champion for a little while.
Yeah, that's fine.
Listen, if Miz can overachieve, so can Chelsea Green.
Let's not do that.
Yes, we are. Yeah. We're going to be doing that. She compared herself to the Miz. She did.
And you know what? You're right. Because Miz is a benchmark now.
Oh my God.
You know what I'm saying? Hey. Keep it a buck. That man is a benchmark now. If you have a career as good as the Miz, boy, oh boy, you have some success. A TV show, double Grand Slam champion, beat the biggest name in WWE in the main event of WrestleMania with The Rock as the referee. Come on, man. Don't get me started. You get an A&E bio doc? Boy, you better stop.
Yes, and a direct-to-DVD movie franchise, all in one fell swoop.
Hey, I Chelsea Green in some type of like rom-com comedy would be fantastic. And she a little would. WWE, especially going to Netflix.
Yes, we need it, actually. We need like a little
match made in heaven.
Yes, we need like a Chelsea Green like docu sitcom of her life.
I was thinking do it something like the Mindy Project, but except with Chelsea Green. But yeah, you could do a documentary too. Like her and Zack Ryder. Oh boy, that'd be
awesome entertainment. Speaking of which, Sami Zayn. Speaking of documentaries, where the hell that documentary went when he was a heel?
He might still be making it.
Yeah, it is possible.
I'm a good guy.
He said, listen, I got 5 years worth of footage, okay? I have a story to tell, all right? It's going to come out one day in multiple chapters, and it's going to be good. And I believe it would be, no lie. So we'll just wait for it whenever the time comes for it to drop.
He's got his own, whatever version of the Bloodline storyline WWE cuts, there's going to be a Sami Zayn cut.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be fabulous. As we now get to our semi-main event, which is a rematch for the WWE tag team titles. It is a new champions DIY versus the former champions, the regrettable Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. And this match was not as good as their match from last week, but still solid. Long story short, Shadow Machine on Waller, I believe, and they get the dub. They get the W. They get the victory to retain the championship. But that doesn't matter because Austin Theory took the bullet, and it's going to be leading to an Austin Theory heel turn, which I actually believe, despite his taste in artist, that it is going to be a good one for him. As you said, he has a good backstory that will really resonate with the people, and I think that it will get him over at long last as a compelling character and wrestler. He does have the skill set and the talent to get over. Now he needs a personality and the story to back it up, and Grayson Waller is a good heat magnet. Asked Johnny Gargano about that when he took him out of NXT a few years ago. But this is all about the post-match of Jacob Fatu, the Samoan Werewolf, going after DIY, Waller, and Theory. He destroys everyone, and people are in awe of this man's agility, like springboard, split-legged moonsaults. We got frog splashes, more moonsaults. Like, this dude is incredible. Aura for days, and he makes you sit up and pay attention to everything he's doing. So far, the Jacob Fatu presentation is everything. They hit a meet me in the middle and do like, huh, really? That's the best you got? And got right up and destroyed DIY. Jacob Fatu, this hire so far, has been amazing.
Yeah, as far as the rat, as you named him, the regrettable Austin Theory, I do agree with you that his babyface turn would be pretty good. And Grayson Waller is the perfect foil for that. As far as Fatu goes, the Samoan Werewolf, he saw the reflection off of Ciampa's head and was like, there's my full moon, transformed real quick. And then went wild. And yeah, like you said, he was flying all around the ring, and it was very, very impressive. He has made quite the impression, and you know, the fact that Vince Diddy decided not to let us have this man years earlier is a crime.
First of all, Vince Diddy is crazy. That is wild. But you're not wrong.
That's who that man is. Like, that's they are the same man. They are the same man.
They are the same man. You know, they are facts.
The same crooked men.
Yes, crooked, foul, disgusting, dirty old men.
Yeah.
That's what they are. That's facts. Number two, I love the acronym now, RAT. The Regrettable Austin Theory. That is going to be canon on this show moving forward because of his musical choices. And number three, Jacob Fatu, best shape in his life, flying around like it's nobody's business. And number four, for a bonus, how long, Scott, tell me how long have you been holding that joke about the full moon of Ciampa's bald head and how Jacob Fatu said, "Ooh, howling out the moon of Ciampa's bald head." How long have you been having that marinating in the reserves?
So, you know, I've had the full moon as far as Ciampa goes in there for a while. That thing's been in the chamber for a long time. I'm starting to rust out. Haven't even cleaned it out. I was just waiting on the werewolf to come in. And what do you know? He happened to be Samoan. And that boy went wild.
He sure did. He did. And it was great. And then Solo and the rest of the bloodline come out. And they are here to be acknowledged. What I am about to say, it's not an insult to Solo Sikoa, but I have a new nickname for him, and it's with the love I say this. From this day forward, until further notice, Solo Sikoa is now known as Timu Roman Reigns. That is what he is. That is what he has become.
Timu,
yes. Bargain variety Roman Reigns, yes.
What's Roman Reigns, Amazon?
Yes, he is. He is Amazon Prime. Not just Amazon, Amazon Prime. Annual membership. Full price. No discounts. You
know, so what's that make five to eBay?
Let's be fair. He is the Etsy of the bloodline.
You get really great, good, just overly expensive.
Yes, exactly.
Really good, just overly expensive. Yeah, I get it.
Listen, right, here we go. High here, end.
Here we go. See, the reason I can't say Solo is Timu is because Tongaloa is in the group. And no, actually, he's Facebook Marketplace. So maybe Solo can be Timu.
Solo can be Timu. And Tama.
Here we go.
Tama Tonga. To finish this off, because this is great.
Yeah.
He's Wayfair. He's Wayfair Jey Uso.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. He is Wayfair Jey Uso. Yes, he is.
Nah, man, you're not going salt yeet like that. You're not going salt the yeet man like that.
That's not an insult. That's a compliment.
Maybe Jimmy. Wow. Maybe King Jimmy.
Don't do Jimmy like that.
Yeah. Jimmy can get done like that. Pause.
No. Jimmy can be like the rooms to go, okay? And then we can have Jay be like Ashley's Furniture or Haverty's, okay? That's high-end stuff. That's high-end furniture, you know?
You just called Jimmy rooms to go.
Yes. Listen, those bedroom sets are expensive, okay? That interest is high. All right.
Yeah, but people only buying them things like they only getting like 5-6 customers a year.
Wow.
We only getting Jimmy well, he's been out for a while, so we might only get him 5-6
exactly.
more times this year.
Exactly.
Might
be
hey, you order something, Keila. You order
Thank
something.
You. Don't ever doubt me. Yeah, he has a good 10-year warranty. He's good. He is good for it. Okay. So as we have basically labeled the new bloodline for what they are, I am still laughing at the Etsy description for Jacob Fatu because it is accurate. It is, you know, expensive, but hey, nice.
Really good.
Really good. But moderately expensive. There we go. All right. So we have Solo, Timu, Roman Reigns basically calling out Cody Rhodes to acknowledge him. And Cody comes out and he's all about, hey, you, me, SummerSlam, Undisputed WWE Championship, we're good to go. I'm down for that. And of course, the shark circle and they go after Cody. They beat him up. Randy Orton, thickums, runs down. He's so chunky in a good way. He's been eating. He's been eating. And he gets beat down by the New Bloodline. He gets put through the announce table. And we have, yes, a somewhat crucifixion of Cody Rhodes in the ropes, unable to help his friend as he gets Samoan spiked and laid out in a crucifix. Yes, he was. He was crucified. He was. That's what it was. That was the imagery put before us on Friday SmackDown. Yeah. It was the passion of Cody Rhodes. Yes, it was.
Whoa.
That's what it was. That was the imagery they decided to go off the air with. The referee just stood there and said, we're not going to untie Cody. Let's keep this up. It's cinema. So that's what happened. And that's how the show ended. And my immediate prediction is Randy's going to sell this injury for a few weeks. Come back. Cody's going to retain the championship. We have Roman come back, take care of Solo for months to come. And then Randy says, oh, I'm going to protect you, Cody. Then flip on him like after SummerSlam. And he'll be next in line for the championship, probably between Bad Blood and Crown Jewel, most likely, if they want to wait that long.
Guest producer Mel Gibson. As far as, you know, like you said, the online retail chains were all surrounding Target, and then Walmart ran down and tried to save the day and you know, help out his fellow retail store. And as Target is over there pleading for its life, they just completely destroy Walmart. Just completely destroy Walmart. Just send it through the ashes. Just like everybody else does when they walk through it. Just completely destroy it on their way out. And Target's just sitting there waiting because they know that everybody who just left Walmart is coming over there to them. And then of all people, it's Timu who hits the devastating blow to Target. And then you know. You talked about this is the passion of Cody Rhodes. what was when he had the peck? Was that the Ten Commandments and he was parting the sea? Was Hell in a Cell the parting of the sea?
Yeah, he was Moses.
Got it. Because you know he had half his body red, the Red Sea, and then he had half. This was fine. They're doing a good job with Solo. Again, it's hard to have sympathy for dumb baby faces. Randy Orton's my favorite wrestler of all time. But if you're going to be an idiot, you deserve to get treated like one. And you ran down there and thought you was going to do nothing. This ain't 09, baby. You know what I'm saying? This 2024, big dog. And you got werewolves to deal with. You know, you got werewolves and you got cannibals. Talking about you, Tama. And it's dangerous out there. You gotta come strapped. You might need to take a page out of Arn Anderson's book. Because it's wild out here right now.
It's dangerous. Get the Glock just in case, you know. It's mean in these streets. It really is. You can't come out there half-cocked and with nothing in your hand to handle your business. So, unfortunately for Randy, he's dumb. And Cody has no friends. They said, you know what? This is not my fight. You said you got this. So, I just simply listened to you, homie. And that's exactly what happened. So, anybody that says, where were the baby faces? Cody said, I got this. Randy, being the friend that he is, said, I got your back. Should have stayed back there. Randy, ate your quiche, okay? Good at your quiche and your quinoa. And you've been good to go. But, oh, no. You want to go out there and try to be a hero. Got your ass whooped by the retailers. Okay. That's what happened. And Scott's description is an all timer. And I just want to clarify for the record that Target is better than Walmart. That's all I'm going to say. 100%. Target rules.
Oh yeah. Target's way. Walmart is starting to compete with Five and Below. You know, we're starting to get into a little competition with Five and Below. So yeah, Target's got, there's levels.
Five Below is wild, but that's where we are. Five Below is a wild allegation against Walmart. Yeah. That's insanity. Yeah.
That might be a bit much, but that's where I'm at though. That's where I'm at.
Okay. Egregious, but I take it.
It might all be. Right. Yeah, I will agree with you. That probably is a bit egregious, but I'm gonna sit on that hill for right now.
No, you stand in your truth, okay? You stay on that Five Below hill saying that is the new battle of the big retailers, the big boxers. All right, so we had a lot of fun recapping SmackDown. That last 10 minutes was a blast. As we now get to Monday Night Raw going down last night from Dayton, Ohio, and we got the return of Rhea Ripley, Mommy, the former WWE Women's World Champion, and she's back to collect many debts and also check Dirty Dominic Mysterio, who has been less than forthcoming regarding his possible relationship with the Women's World Champion, Liv Morgan. And we have Dom coming out with a single black rose. That's a little morbid, is it not? As he tries to say, Mommy, I'm sorry. I don't want Liv. I want you. I love you. I appreciate you. I worship you. I'm your sub. I'm your number one Dom in more ways than one. And we have Liv Morgan appear on the big screen, and she said, listen, my revenge tour involved taking everything from you, Rhea. I took your championship. I took your career for a while, and I wanted Dom too. And at first, it was all about taking everything that belonged to you. But over time, I really started to care and like Dirty Dom, and Daddy Dom and I grew and we connected, and I helped him beat his deadbeat dad, something you can never do. So that's one big score for me and zero for you. So it's basically coming down to what Rhea Ripley wants. And she wants Liv Morgan one-on-one for her championship, the championship she never lost at SummerSlam in a few weeks in Cleveland, Ohio. And Liv accepts that challenge. She's not going to run. She's not going to hide. And she hopes to see Dirty Dom there. And Rhea is saying, I'm going to end you at SummerSlam as I take back my Women's World Championship. Dirty Dom is begging and pleading, please, Mommy, forgive me. It does not work. For most of the show, we have Rhea throw the black roses at Dominic, throws him out of the Judgment Day clubhouse, and all night long, Dom just keeps putting his foot in his mouth, saying the wrong things at the wrong time, and then saying to Mommy herself that you belong to me. And Carlito and JD and Finn's like, oh, you done effed up now. And it was a night of begging and pleading from Dirty Dom. Eventually, Rhea did come around after Dirty Dom got beat by Jey Uso in the match during the third hour, because Jay wants to shoot a shot on Rhea too now that she's clear and free, apparently. But she makes it known to Dirty Dom that no, you belong to me. And Dirty Dom, for the end of the night, feels good about his standing for now. But don't get too comfortable, because I'm sure Liv will be back next week tempting you once again, as she did later in the show, as we'll get to as we circle back to Jay versus Dirty Dom later on during this recap.
Yeah, this was a good set. I thought Liv did a really good job. Rhea's was real paint by the numbers. I think they've done a good job so far. Dom, I thought he was a bit much, and like there was just certain lines, like him saying he hadn't talked to her in months.
Dude,
like what are we talking about? Like, we are grown men. We are grown men and women. Like, what are we talking about? Like, you haven't talked to her in months? Come on, man. And it's just, some of that was a bit much for me, but yeah, the segment was fine. It advanced the story, and Mommy's back. She got a great reaction, and Liv Morgan, I thought, held her own on the microphone, which was the important part.
Definitely. And as I said a few months ago, that Liv has to be able to, express herself on the microphone by getting more time to talk. And through the storyline, she has been given more time to really craft a character that works for her and she gets to talk and sell that character convincingly. And I'm glad that she has the opportunity to do that. It kind of reminds me of her character reboot in late 2019 when she was the other woman in the Bobby Lashley Lana situation, but they didn't let that character really cook the way it should have. But now she has this opportunity now to be the seductress, to be the woman that is trying to break up the Judgment Day from within. And it's working so far. There's tension everywhere. And we have beneficiaries of that, such as Finn Balor and JD McDonagh, who told Rhea Ripley, hey, I'm sure that you might feel some kind of way about that. But Rhea says a win is a win, but, you know, tread carefully around Liv. And Damian Priest, who is becoming a babyface more and more, is checking Dom because he knows, dude, you're dumb. You ain't called mommy in months. I tried to tell you, handle your business, and you failed to do so. Yeah, I'm your daddy because you should know better. But Dirty Dom, if you're trying to win over mommy, you did one thing right. Roses. Why they had to be black, though? Why they got to be dead? But what you should have did too, to follow in your other daddy's footsteps, the late great Eddie Guerrero, when he was in the doghouse with China, you know what he did, Scott?
What's that?
He gave China a dog. So you need to go to the pet shop or a no-kill shelter, Dirty Dom, and get Rhea a puppy. Mm-hmm. Yes, that will help. Yes. That is a
terrible idea.
That's a great idea.
That's a terrible idea. for one, you are not Eddie. You are not. that's because that is not a good idea. That was a terrible idea that Eddie did. Whether it worked or not, that man just has incredible swag. But that was a god awful idea. Oh, we've been beefing. I haven't talked to you in months, and I've been with my side chick this whole time. Yeah, I'm gonna buy you a dog. That is. Here we go. What kind of dog should he have got, Akilah?
Okay. If you're trying to make up for what you did, you know what you get, Rhea? You get her like a...
A boxer.
You get a boxer. No, you get her like...
This is Rhea Ripley we talking, though.
I know. She might surprise you, though. Get her a Yorkshire Terrier. Get her like a Yorkie.
I was about to say a French bulldog.
But yeah, Yorkie, that, too, that works.
Yeah, I can see it. No, Yorkie's cool. All right, okay. All right, I got it. Yeah, all right. But yeah, okay, so the dog. Yeah, that dog thing, man, that's a setup right there. Because she going to bring that dog home to Buddy and be like, hold up.
There's another one? Really?
Oh, hold up.
Don't we have like three dogs already? Who was this fourth dog?
Storyline getting real. Yes. but also, I do think, and I know we got to move on. I know Liv said something very important in her promo that I think is going to come back as far as their match goes at SummerSlam. She said that when I was with Dom, he was able to do something with me that he's never been able to do with you in all your time together, and that's beat his father. I think that is going to be. And then she said, and I'm going to finally do something I've never been able to do, and that's beat you. I think that's very telling, and I think that is going to be the key line in this entire thing that's going to come back at SummerSlam.
Yes, and we're going to find out exactly which guy is aligned with Liv. Is it Dirty Dom? Or is it Finn Balor? Because I'm not discounting Finn just yet. Because they were talking, meeting up backstage months ago, arriving to the arena together in the car. So I think there's going to be a double swerve because Dirty Dom is getting played. And I saw Liv backstage last week when she peeped through the curtain and she said, ooh, I did a great job ruining this relationship. She is a vixen. I love that for her. So I'm looking forward to see whether or not Dirty Dom's in on it. He's about to fall for it. Or Finn says, I got her. Always had her, and now you know.
Yeah, this is good. And we might actually get a wrestling match out of it.
Yes, I'm here for that as well. So kudos to them for a very good segment to kick off Monday Night Raw as we get to our first match of the night, which was Sheamus versus Bronson Reed. Solid big man match, big hoss battle. Highlight was Sheamus deadlifting a very big Bronson Reed with one arm for a white noise for a near fall. Not from the top rope, grounded position. Very impressive. We had Bronson go for a moonsault. He misses and Sheamus knee strikes him for the win. After the match is over, we have Pete Dunne repay the debt to Sheamus from last week before attacking Sheamus. So feud incoming, and I'm here for that because I know that Pete Dunne and Sheamus are going to deliver banger after banger after banger for our entertainment.
Another week, another loss for Bronson Reed, but the incoming triple threat that we'll eventually get on the go-home show of Monday Night Raw between those three will be great.
Yeah, I totally believe that as well. And I am going to continue to offer well wishes to Bronson Reed's career in WWE. He got the heat back ever so briefly with the tsunami on Sheamus, but you still lost. So that doesn't mean very much to me, unfortunately. It is what it is. But hey, Monday, maybe soon, they'll figure it out. I just don't know. I'm losing hope at this point, but we'll see. As we move on to our next match, which was Zelina Vega versus Sonya Deville. Very short match, but the highlight for me actually was Zelina Vega. Oh,
there was a highlight?
Yeah, there was a highlight. Not the match itself. There was a highlight.
Oh, okay, because I was wondering, I was wondering what the highlight was. Like, okay, I got it. Sorry, my bad.
Now, please, the match was not a highlight. Sonya handled business as she should. But the highlight, the cultural highlight, was Zelina getting the Vaseline and getting her face prepped for those kids. For those of us that live in the hood, you know when you are about to get into a real knockdown, dragdown fight, you get your Vaseline and you get that thing rubbed up on your face to make sure you're protecting your eyes and your cheeks and your mouth, because you know you're going to get hit. And it immediately reminded me of Gina from Martin when she's about to whoop up on Miss Trinidad. Like, she had the Vaseline, the shoes, ready to go. So Zelina Vega, for the culture, I salute you with your petroleum jelly Vaseline. There you go.
Don't ask Dave and Brian to talk about that on their show. also, for me, the highlight, because it, again, wasn't the match, but for me, the highlight was I thought the promo backstage, Zelina eviscerated him. And was just eating all of them, whether it was Sonya's forehead or Shayna's mustache. Yeah. But and honestly, I wasn't sure which one she was talking about, Shayna or Zoe. And then but she didn't bring much heat for Zoe. I was surprised about that. I'm curious why she didn't bring no heat for Zoe. But yeah, this was not much to it. Establishing the I've seen the name floating around. I'm not gonna call them that. I don't know what their name is going to be. But whatever the trio is going to be called. But at least I appreciate them giving them wins today or last night.
Yes, for sure. Love that for what it was. I laughed. And the Vaseline did it for me. I was very pleased with that. Match went 1 minute, 5 seconds. But hey, no highlights with the match. But the pre-match stuff, highlights for sure. As we get to the face-to-face confrontation involving the World Heavyweight Champion Damian Priest and Gunther. Gunther is a savage on the microphone. We've said this before. And he basically said to Damian Priest, "You're poor. You're from the streets. That's your problem, not mine." And I'm like, damn, Gunther, why you gotta be so cold-blooded? Talking about your reign has been nothing. No prestige, no contributions. You haven't done nothing at all. You know, I come from wealth. You come from the streets. And that's not my problem. And I'm like, this is a very personal cutting promo. It might not be for everybody, but that is who Gunther is. He's a snooty, arrogant, privileged professional wrestler who's never dreamed of being in WWE. Doesn't care about, oh, this is my childhood dream and this is what I always wanted. He simply wants to be dominant wherever he is. And he happens to be in WWE to be dominant, to add elegance and class and dignity to the squared circle, the sacred place he calls home. And I dug the back and forth between Priest and Gunther. They needed this promo exchange because I was like, heading into their match at SummerSlam. But now I'm looking forward to it. They needed this to convince me this could be great. It's got to go through in the ring. I know Priest has had a couple of rough outings as of late. He recovered nicely at Clash against Drew McIntyre after that botch. Had another one, unfortunately, when he did not kick out at Money in the Bank against Seth. But hopefully those kinks are worked through for SummerSlam, because Gunther, he's a different animal, and you got to come correct. And I will say, I do believe that Gunther will give Damian Priest the match of his career at SummerSlam when Gunther wins the championship.
Yeah, this is a really good promo exchange. This gave me kind of vibes of, I think it was the Miz and MVP when they were kind of talking about the, but done in a more, this didn't feel as cheaply done as when the, I think it was the Miz and MVP who did it when they were talking about MVP's prison time. I think it was the Miz. They were going after the U.S. title or something like that. That felt like it was just a way to get some cheap heat on there. And it was absolutely a racial driven promo, because he was a black dude who went to jail. This just felt like you said, Gunther just being above, and it didn't matter who it was standing across from him. He probably would have said that to John Cena. You know what I mean? Like, he just comes off as, I'm better than literally any and everybody that stands in front of me. I don't care who you are. So I thought the promo in that regard was really well done. I thought Damian's line about Gunther having to fight from underneath for the first time in his life, and having to crawl and scratch his way for something, that's an interesting concept. And I appreciate Gunther showing a little fire at the end, going head to head with him, and really kind of, you know, saying like, oh, you know what? You're not going to just talk to me like that either. So this was a really good, and I'm looking forward to this continued build of this matchup for the first time.
Yes, looking forward to a great build via this promo exchange needed by both guys. And Gunther, he's an equal opportunity hater, no matter where you're from. I do think if he ever confronted John Cena, he would say, you Boston piece of trash, you Bostonian loser, you. Boston sucks. You suck. Everything about you sucks, you Mark Wahlberg wannabe. Like, that will be Gunther, and I'm here for that. So it does lead to Damian Priest versus Braun Strowman in a non-title match. And the match was all right for what it was. The most impressive thing was Priest lifting up Strowman for the South of Heaven for the pinfall victory. But it was a Strowman leg injury that allowed Priest to get this decisive victory. And we had Gunther come out after the match, and Gunther is going to chop Priest, and Priest decks him right back. Gunther has another chop, but Priest clotheslines Gunther, and he leaves the scene. A little preview of what they're going to be doing at SummerSlam. So Priest, get your chest ready, because it is going to be lit up, red, and bruised by the time the night is over.
Yeah, they're going to go through a war with each other, but it should be a fun match.
Yes, very much so. Looking forward to it. Did not think I would a few weeks ago, but this promo definitely helped me care a bit more heading into their championship match at SummerSlam. As we get to Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark versus Scott's favorite tag, Team Casey and JoJo, Kaden Carter and Katana Chance. I thought this was a solid match. The fans kind of got into the offense, but ultimately it came down to Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler laying out Katana Chance with that elevated knee strike for the 1-2-3. After Lyra Valkyria tried to get involved, but it kind of backfired at the end. As the heels stand tall, no damage control this week due to Kairi and Io Sky overseas handling some Marigold business.
Yeah, not much to add from what I said earlier, but biggest takeaway from this match was cheddar biscuits for Lyra.
Yes. Wow. She gets the cheddar biscuits.
Yeah, Lyra been doing it the last few weeks. She been on her game.
I've seen the vision for a long time. I've seen the cheddar biscuit vision, so I'm glad that you're now on board as well.
Yeah, I'm on board. I'm fully on board with the Lyra, and that she in the restaurant, she at the table. I'm fully on board.
Okay. All right. Full throated support for Lyra Valkyria at Red Lobster.
I'm a fan.
They not like us. They not like, okay. All right. Speaking of they're not like us, Drew McIntyre comes out and You know, when you are talking about one hater of the year, you got to talk about another hater of the year as well. And Drew McIntyre is simply supposed to apologize for elbowing Adam Pearce going after the referees a couple of weeks ago. Because if you want to match with CM Punk, you got to atone for your sins. And Drew McIntyre says, F that. I'm not apologizing for anything because you screwed me over at not one, but two PLEs, Adam Pearce, Scrap Daddy, Clash at the Castle. CM Punk screws me over for a championship. Money in the Bank, CM Punk screws me over. So I'm not apologizing for shit. And he proceeds to push down a referee. He goes eye to eye, nose to nose, Scrap Daddy, Scrap, and is not getting very scrappy. And then we have Seth Rollins, and it is hot all over America. Okay, it is sweltering from the south to the west to the north to the east. This man got a freaking fur coat on trying to whoop somebody's butt. And he tries to curb stomp McIntyre. McIntyre flees, and that ends the segment. But CM Punk comes back next week, and I can only imagine that Drew McIntyre would sneak through the back door, and we have a brawl.
I don't think he'll be in the next week. I think CM Punk pleads for Adam Pearce to reinstate Drew and give him the match, even if he's not cleared. It'll be, you know, no holds bar or something like that. And to be fair, Seth Rollins also didn't have on any shirts. So that was his way of combating the heat while he decided to wear Yogi. And, you know, this was a good segment. Drew McIntyre is going to get another hefty fine. He pushed down two referees. That man couldn't get fired if he tried to.
No. He's trying, but it won't work. He'll find a way to get reinstated. Like, this man has quit so many times this year, and he gets reinstated, unsuspended. He'll be fine. He'll be okay. As we get to one of my favorite things from last night's show, which was the latest VHS tape from the Wyatt Six. And as we hoped on this show, we are now getting character profiles on everyone. We've had Bo Dallas getting, you know, his side of the story out the last few weeks. This week was about Eric Rowan. And I thought he did a tremendous job talking about losing not one brother, but two in the last 3 years. He talked about, you know, the family that he relied on. They had each other's backs until one day the whole world changed. She lost a brother. The person who believed in him the most was just gone and knocked him on his ass. And he wiped off the dust and he kept moving. And then he wondered to himself, I have no one. I have no family. Will anybody miss me? Will anybody care about me? I'm just Rowan. And that kind of, you know, hit me in a way, because dude, you red beard, you are somebody, you matter. And Uncle Howdy came through and said, I see you, I got you, we family. And their broken hearts are going to create beautiful art. And I thought this was raw, genuine emotion from Eric Rowan. We've seen him go through it for the last 3 years. He is the last original member of the Wyatt family. He has seen both Brody Lee and Bray Wyatt leave this earth in the last 2.5 years. That is a heavy burden to be someone, to see two people that were your brothers leave you, and then to create this new magic with Bo Dallas and Nikki Cross and the others. I think this is going to be a nice tribute to Bray Wyatt, his vision, and also staying rooted in reality. There's going to be like spooky elements of it, but this is what I wanted: the humanization of the Wyatt Six, who they are, what they represent, what they mean to each other. This was great.
Yeah, this is a really good segment, and I look forward to the other ones of the other characters and iterations of them. So this is a really good in-depth segment. Rowan did a good job, and as far as them coming out later, I thought it all added up and built up really well. So this was really good.
Yes, very, very good. As we get briefly to Jey Uso versus Dominic Mysterio, we talked about who won. It was Jey. But we got to talk about Liv Morgan coming out towards the end of the match. And we had more straddling and rolling around. And Rhea Ripley was having none of that as Liv hightailed it out of there once again. And that leads to Jey spearing Dirty Dom for the 1-2-3. And we got Jey telling Rhea, hey, you can call me. And that led to Rhea letting Dom know that I don't belong to you. You belong to me, my little sub. You ain't Daddy Dom. I'm mommy and your daddy. What about it?
Mommy putting herself back in charge, back on top where she belongs. Putting the pieces back together so that way when the big turn happens at SummerSlam, or when he gets up getting beat down as well, it ends up meaning a little bit more. So this is a again, good continuation of the story. Good first week back for Mommy.
Yes, very much so. As we get to Chad Gable calling out Bo Dallas, because if you did not know this, Scott, Bo Dallas is Uncle Howdy. He delivered this breaking news multiple times backstage. Adam Pierce, did you know that Uncle Howdy's Bo Dallas? Hey, Otis and Maxine and Akira. Uncle Howdy's Bo Dallas. Hey, people of Dayton, Ohio. Did you know that Bo Dallas is Uncle Howdy and Uncle Howdy's Bo Dallas? And I'm calling that Bo Dallas right now. And sure enough, the Bo Dallas comes out. And then he's jumped immediately by Brutus and Julius Creed. So the Alpha Academy 2.0 is being rebuilt as we speak. And they're wearing suits. Choices there. Can we have them not wear suits? But I digress. So they proceed to beat up on Bo Dallas. It's a 3-on-1 beatdown. He gets suplex, stumped on, beat on. And Bo is laughing through all of this. Like, this is the best you got. He goes in the corner. He laughs some more. And Chad's like, why are you laughing? What's so funny? And we got the fog. The lights go out. The fireflies are out. And then we have the Wyatt Six come out there. And they come out. Great visual with Abigail with the lantern. We have everybody come out there in their masks and their fits coming out there to scare away the Creeds and Chad Gable. And it's all about Bo Dallas and the crew, the Wyatt Six, the first presentation of them together. Very good stuff. Chad Gable's an idiot. That is all.
Yeah, this was good. Good way to put together the Creeds and Chad. And I think this is a good way to kind of bring the Wyatt Six out together and kind of have them show how they're going to be used. You know, when one of them wrestles, you're going to have the other ones always lurking around. And if there is any funny business like that, you know, you better get in and get out quickly. So I thought this was a good way to kind of establish them and to let the viewer know that regardless if they come out by themselves, whenever one of these people are out there, they're never by themselves. So this is a good segment.
Absolutely. And we know that Bo Dallas is human. He is not Uncle Howdy 24/7. That is very good to see. And we'll see how this crew goes in the ring when the time costs them to work matches. But now it's time for our main event, which is Ilya Dragunov versus Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship in the main event spot. This match was fine for what it was. Great action throughout. We had Sami Zayn laying a Blue Thunder Bomb on Ilya for a 2 count. And Zayn hits an exploder and lands in the corner, Dragunov, and it's right on top of his head, a very unpleasant landing. He catches a receipt by booting the hell out of Sammy in the face, and that leads to an H-bomb. Sammy gets up with his boots up, and Dragunov goes to knee Sammy again, hits H-bomb off the top apron. And then we have Dragunov go for a drop kick, but Zayn gets his knees up for a 2 count. And we have this go back and forth for a bit. It's a good match, but you know it's going to end with Bron Breakker coming out to cause trouble, as he did. And I thought he was going to hit a double spear on Sammy and Ilya with his runaround with the overhead camera, but Sammy is going to step out the way. Dragunov takes the hit. Sammy and Bron Breakker go at it, and then we have Sami Zayn get speared with breakneck speed by Bron Breakker to end the show, with Bron getting love from the crowd, getting the barks, getting the chants, and he is definitely going after the Intercontinental Championship. And I do sense, even though Scott has misgivings about this, it is going to be most likely Dragunov versus Zayn versus Breakker for the Intercontinental Championship at SummerSlam in a few weeks' time in Cleveland, Ohio.
This is a big segment for Braun to close out Raw, standing tall, holding that title. And the match was fine. Like you said, we kind of all knew that the ending wasn't going to happen until Braun got involved. Camera work was really well done when they caught Braun coming around, and he ended up getting them on that side. And him running the ropes at that speed and then hitting Sammy with that one. So good segment all around. Really good way to highlight Bron Breakker. It makes you want to see him in the ring, makes you want to see him wrestle, and that's the goal. So they've done a really good job of that. With some of this newer talent, they've done a good job of bringing them in. Braun, Fatu, they're establishing these guys as just monsters. And honestly, I hope these two stay on a very linear path and 2-3 years down the road. Like, I hope we get some teases maybe at the Royal Rumble, just a couple face to faces. But 2 years down the road, man, those two going head to head for the first time, never interacting, and I think that could be something special. But Braun, this is great. I'm really, him closing out Raw was really exciting to see.
Yes, very much so. Capped off an episode that was just, average wrestling was so-so. They knew it was a home run derby, which historically does take a bite out of the viewership for Monday night. So we'll see how that number holds. If it cracks a little bit, we'll see. But I think their rebound with two shows to go into SummerSlam in Cleveland, Ohio. Looking forward to that PLE. Should be a very strong show. Built so far is good. And we shall see how they build things up on SmackDown as well and NXT. Who's got two PLEs coming up in the next couple of months? We got No Mercy going down in September. And Halloween Havoc is back to being a PLE once again in late October. So good for NXT as they will be on the C-Dub by then for their first PLE outside of the USA Network framework. But we'll get to that when the time comes. But kick-ass posters for both shows so far as we now put a bow on this week's wrap right here on the Fightgate Media Network. But before we go, just in case Scott has a bomb to drop like he did a few weeks ago, was there like a match of the week for you in WWE or anywhere for that matter that stood out to you?
I could go the easy route and say, Tony Khan and debuting talent or not signed talent, showing up on his show and having great matches and then leaving. Like, you know, you could talk about that, but I won't drop any bombs. I will say, me being the Corbin guy, I am thoroughly enjoyed seeing Corbin and Apollo Crews out there in tag team action. Wish they would have won the match, but I enjoyed watching Corbin get out there and get some love on SmackDown.
Yeah, I enjoyed that too. I never thought I would say the day that Baron Corbin gets love from me, and he also gets Cheddar Biscuits from me as well. So congrats to him.
For what? To cook?
Tell you something. I told you that Baron Corbin has a great personality, even before this run on NXT. Great personality. He'll make me laugh and he'll cook the hell out of Wagyu beef. So it's a winning combination for me. He can grill, he can cook, and he can talk. So that's all that I need.
Got to keep Fatu out of there, though, because he got a bald head, too. So, you know, if he's shined the wrong way, Fatu might go wild in there. So I got to keep those two separated.
Reflecting full moons is not a good look, so beware. In fact, Baron, find your hair while you can, if you can find it again.
Sound like a line from Thriller or something.
This is Thriller night. I don't want to get sued here. I'm stop singing. But okay, match for the week for me. It's a long week in WWE. Trying to think. For entertainment purposes, the main event of NXT was pretty fun. Shohindry. I believe in him. It was fun. Hope to see him again soon. But that is it now. Officially, no more jabs and shade thrown from Scott. He'll save it for next week. As we put a bow on this week's wrap right here on the Fightgate Media Network, thank you for tuning in to join us as we talk about all things WWE so far. This week, I want to thank my co-captain, Softy Scott Young, for joining me as we talk things out regarding Raw, SmackDown, and NXT.
Thank you, Vakila. And as always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. Tomorrow, I'm going to take a trip to Target. I'll be skipping out on Walmart, and I might buy something from Facebook Marketplace.
That is how you end a day. So no Costco or Sam's Club for you?
Nah, I try to stay out of Costco. Unless the wife needs me to carry something, I'm not going to Costco. BJ's, Sam's Club, whatever. All the wholesale places, keep me out of there, man.
I totally agree. What about a Trader Joe's? Would you go there?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Trader Joe's.
Okay.
I'm going to go to Kroger. They got a bar. Yeah.
Whoa. Pause. Time out. Flag on the play. There's a bar at Kroger's.
100% there's a bar at Kroger's. Beer's cheap. Yeah. I'm in there.
I'm booking a flight to Virginia. We're going to do a show from the bar at Kroger's one day. I must see this for myself.
Hey, I'm down. Listen, me and my boy, we were going to a bar and the bar was getting ready to close. And we were like, well, let's just go to Kroger. So
Kroger
picked up some groceries, stopped at the, put them in the car, went back to the bar.
Kroger has a bar. I need visual evidence of this. That is crazy. Tesla,
so it drove us home. So we was good.
Oh my gosh. All right. I need to investigate this further. I will Google this and find out about this bar at Kroger. I am intrigued. Going to the bar, where are Kroger's? Okay.
Oh, the wife laughed at me. So that was fun.
So what time the bar closes at Kroger's?
I think it closes at 11. I know we left about 10, 10:30, but I'm guessing the bar closes at about 11.
Okay. All right. I have to do some research on this bar at Kroger's and find out exactly what their menu selection is in terms of craft beers and other drinks.
Well, but I know one of the big, we got the Nature Boy around here, which is pretty good. So I don't know if that's still around.
That is a good question for sure.
Might be the Nature Girl now.
Yeah, we'll dive into the adventures of Scott at Kroger's next week on the show at the bar. Until then, enjoy the rest of your week, ladies and gentlemen, as we continue to watch our things WWE for your listening pleasure. We'll be back next Tuesday morning talking about next week's Monday Night Raw, NXT coming up tomorrow, and Friday Night SmackDown on Fox as we are counting down to SummerSlam going down in Cleveland, Ohio in a few weeks' time. So for myself and for Softy Scott Young, that is a wrap for all things WWE. Take care and bye-bye.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.